we get to jump in tonight to the story of Jesus. The tough question for tonight is, Jesus, what is the story? Jesus Christ is most certainly the most famous person to have ever lived. Time magazine gave him Man of the Millennium. I think that's pretty appropriate. Our very calendar is actually centered around the life of Jesus. BC is before Christ, and AD means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. More songs have been written about Jesus in books, and just the guy is the best, right? And that's why we come here every single week to Mosaic, because we love Jesus. But not everybody loves Jesus. Does anybody know that? No? Okay. But not everybody loves Jesus. And here's the thing. Jesus made some audacious claims when he was here on the earth. He said some pretty big things. And if the things that Jesus said were true, they mean some very real things. Now, if the things that Jesus said were not true, we have some rethinking to do. I think rethinking church would certainly be our slogan at that point. But how many of you guys I just got a question for you. How many of you guys are Narnia fans? Narnia fans? Okay. What if I came to you one day and you know, I'm kind of a young, crazy guy, and I said, hey, I have an idea for a book. And because you're a nice person, you would say, oh, cool, tell me about that idea. And I would say, well, I was thinking about writing this book. It'd be a fictional book. And it would have, like, it'd be about a fictional, wonderful land of mystery and wonder, and it would have this lion, and the lion's really cool, and it'd have this witch, and it would have this wardrobe that you could, like, get from the earth to this magical place, and maybe I'll call it Narnia. And I just got this great idea for this book, and I think it would be a bestseller. How many of you guys would step back and say, Joel, I think that story's already been written once before, right? How many of you guys have read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis? Phenomenal book, one of my favorites. But if I came to you and I said, I got this idea for this book, and I went through all the points of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you kind of look at me a little cross-eyed and think I was a little weird. Well, I am a little weird, but that's not my idea. Now, here's the thing. The story of Jesus is the most important story that's ever been told, right? The greatest story ever told. But the funny thing about this is that in the world today, there is a growing hypothesis and idea, especially among people of my generation, that the story of Jesus is not an original story at all. Much like Joel and his crazy idea about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they would say that the story of Jesus is actually simply a carbon copy retold story that was circling around the Mediterranean region for, you know, thousands of years. You guys, take a look at this clip, and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Did your bio was something that was going around the Mediterranean for at least 1,000 years? We've got Krishna, who was in India 1,000 years before Christ. Krishna was a carpenter, born of a virgin, baptized in a river.
Are you saying that was written in history? That was written down in history? Is what you're saying?
Absolutely. There's the Persian god Mithras, 600 years before Christ, born December 25th, performed miracles, resurrected on the third day, known as the Lamb, the Way, the Truth, the Light, the Savior, Messiah.
Stop! Blasphemer!
All I know is that I don't go by that hearsay, that's right. I go by the word of God. I know that's what I believe.
Well, I believe it.
Believe
because
it, yes.
It's true. Okay, it's not that.
But there's a difference between truth and what you believe.
But in the Bible, it tells us that all things are possible with God, okay?
Study the religions of the Mediterranean region for 1,000 years before. Many of the gods were born on December 25th. It's not a new one.
It's funny you should bring that up because, of course, in Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace, Anakin is born to a virgin. And
really?
People see that and they say, wait a second, where have we heard that before?
Right.
It's not original.
But
when
the Jesus story
happened,
wasn't original.
How so?
Egyptian.
All right. Did anybody see that movie? It's from the movie Religious. It's with Bill Maher. Not a big box office hit among Christians, but let me tell you something. People are watching that movie like crazy. People are watching movies like Religious. There's another movie out called Zeitgeist. And this story is being told right now. The story that Jesus' story is not an original. Now, if that stuff is true, we've got some rethinking to do, right? I mean, all of those things that were written up there are very specific details about the life of Jesus. And if it's true that those details were circling around the Mediterranean for thousands of years, we've got problems. So I did a little bit of research. It's something that not a lot of people like to do. But when I watched that, I thought, wow, I need to look this stuff up. And so I want to just really quickly rip through some of this because it's a lot of material and it'll waste our whole night if I just go through every single detail. But I have the material, and if you guys want to ask me any questions about it, I can go through it in more detail. But let me just jump through a couple of these Messiah figures that Bill Maher in the movie Religious cites as a pre-story to the story of Jesus. The first one was Krishna. Has anybody heard of Krishna? He lived about 1000 BC. The movie said that he was a carpenter. Actually, he was a prince. Prince, carpenter, I can see how they would get confused. Said that he was born of a virgin. Actually, he was born in July, 3228 BC. He was the eighth son born to a princess named Devaki. Now, that's some virgin, because it did say that Krishna was born of a virgin. I don't know about you guys, but she tops Mary. If she can have eight kids as a virgin, I don't know. So it additionally says that he was baptized in a river. I searched all over. That's nowhere to be found. And additionally, Krishna, he did actually marry 16,100 maidens, which sounds exactly like Jesus to me, right? So that's Krishna. The next god that they mention is Mithra. He was in, which actually better known as Zoroaster. Has anybody ever heard of Zoroaster? Not as many. Okay. 600 BC. They mention the date December 25th. First of all, there's a wide debate in what century Zoroaster was born in, let alone the date. And besides, how many of you guys know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th? That's totally just a tradition that has nothing to do with reality and it has nothing to do with the claims of Scripture. So I love that they mention that. Oh, born on December 25th, whatever. It also said that he performed miracles. Not true, but he did have a wife and kids, so I guess that counts for something. Says that he was resurrected on the third day. And that he was crucified. Well, he was murdered, but that was when a siege took over the city. He was murdered just like anybody else would be murdered when, your city is being attacked. And there was no resurrection. Additionally, it says that he was called the Lamb, the Way, the Light, the Truth, the Savior. No mention of any of these titles historically. And of course, big surprise, no virgin birth. The third god that they mention, and this is the one that is kind of the highlight. This is the big grand slam for anybody trying to say that Jesus is a retold story, is the Egyptian god Horus. Horus actually was not a person. It was a totally mythological Egyptian god. And of course, it has a lot to do with astrology and all of that. But in Egyptian tradition and religion, it's funny, there's really not a whole lot of comparative truth to what he said. Just a couple things. He is actually the son of God Osiris. There's a god named Osiris, and his god wife was Isis. And so he was the son of a god, so warmer, right? But born to a virgin, which is, of course, what Religious said. No, actually, Isis was conceived Horus after Horus had been dismembered and his body parts were all over the Nile River. Isis, she thought quickly because she needed a son, put all of his body parts back together, and right before Osiris died, she conceived Horus. Sounds a lot like Mary and Jesus. Again, it continues to make claims that he was baptized by Anup the Baptizer. Actually, Anup or Anubis was not a baptizer. He was in charge of the dead, and he was in charge of the burial process in Egypt. Now, for those of you who were baptized this morning, it would be very, very good to know that being baptized and being embalmed are not the same thing, right? So, again, yet another slip-up and mistake by the wonderful guys from Religulous. Additionally, he had 12 disciples. No, actually, he had 4 semi-gods that were followers and 16 human followers. I guess if you subtract 4 from 16, you get 12. I don't know. Maybe that's what they did. So, really not even at all the same. And the list goes on. What's very, strange to me is that people who are coming against the truth of Jesus Christ don't really find it super necessary to back up their claims with facts. You know? Isn't that interesting that we are put to the test as Christians constantly? How many of you guys have been in a conversation with somebody that says, "Where's your proof? Where's your proof about Jesus?" And of course, yet when they make claims, often those claims are not backed up by fact. I did a lot of research, took me a couple of days, and it was a lot of fun because the more I researched it, the more I was convinced that Jesus was the way. Like, I was like, oh, no, that's not true. Oh, that's great. No, that's not true. But, you know, when you first watch that, it's very easy to look at that and say, man, it's on a movie, so it must be true. Jesus is not who he said he was. But here's the reality. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was foretold hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even appeared on the scene through the Hebrew scriptures. Hundreds of prophecies. I mean, it was laden throughout the Old Testament that Jesus was coming, he was going to die a horrible death, and he was going to resurrect from the dead. This was not a surprise, and when Jesus came to the earth, he was either met with one of two reactions, either worship or hatred. Worship or hatred. And it's today really not that different at all. That being said, okay, so I hope that we've kind of seen that this whole idea that Jesus is a retold story is just kind of silly. The second thing that I think that people will do to try to explain who Jesus was, instead of say, well, he was the God of creation, like we would believe, they would say, well, Jesus, he wasn't God, but he was a good guy. He was a good man. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I think Jesus was good. He was certainly a teacher. He was certainly probably a prophet. He was certainly a man of the people. He was certainly a good a person who had good things to say about treating each other nicely and turning the other cheek. Of course, he got all his stuff from those other guys, right? But a lot of people would like to say that Jesus was not God, but he was simply good. Grab your Bibles. There's some Bibles under the seats. And page over with me to page 702. We're going to go to the book of Mark tonight. I got to tell you, I had a ton of fun doing research for this. Hold on. Yeah, 702. It was a lot of fun. If you guys don't know, well, I can't tell your secrets, can I, Renell? No. Okay, I can't tell you research secrets, but there are some very good tools out there to do phenomenal research. What's that? Okay, gotquestions.org. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal resource. If you have questions about Christianity, you can literally, like whatever it is, I want to know about, you know, Moses and the Red Sea. You can type it in, and it's just tons of resources on Christian life in general. Just phenomenal stuff. So to page 702, we're in Mark chapter 10. In verse 17, it says, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone.'" You know, I always used to read that and be like super confused. You know, why did Jesus say he wasn't good? You know, I thought Jesus was good. And I would read that and why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. What Jesus was saying to this guy is, look, you can approach me and you can come to me as God, but I'm not going to give you the opportunity to just come to me as good. Jesus didn't give the guy that luxury. He said, look, why do you call me good? There's only one person who is good, and that's God. So if you want to call me good, call me God, because that's who I am. You know, Jesus repeatedly claimed to be God. It's another, you know, I mean, opponents of Christianity would also say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Ridiculous. He claimed to be God over and over and over and over and over again throughout Scripture. In fact, Jesus wasn't crucified on the cross because he was out giving good teachings. He wasn't crucified because he was feeding the 5,000. He wasn't crucified because the blind were seeing and the sick were healed and the dead were raised. Jesus was crucified because he said he was God over and over and over again. Turn over in just a couple pages to page 707. We're in Mark again. It's chapter 14. We'll start in verse 60. This is when Jesus is about to be crucified. And he's on trial. He's with the high priest. And the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. You know, Jesus was not crucified on the cross because he did miracles. He was crucified on the cross because he claimed to be God. You know those two words, I am? Do those words sound familiar to anybody? And when Moses was at the burning bush and he was about to go into Egypt and God had said, go free my people, Moses was like, I don't have the best reputation in Egypt. Who should I tell them sent me? And God said two words, I am. When Jesus said these words, the high priest tore his clothes and screamed, blasphemy. Jesus didn't stop there. He continued on and he said, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Does anybody know where that comes from? It was Jesus' favorite title of himself. He called himself the Son of Man over and over and over and over again. And that wasn't like a title like, people would mistake. The Jews knew exactly where that came from, and it came from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel prophesied that the Son of Man would come and that he would be the Son of God. He would be God and man together, and that he would save the world. And Jesus constantly referred to himself as the Son of Man. And it's for this that Jesus was crucified. He wasn't crucified because he was a good teacher. He wasn't crucified because he did miracles. He wasn't crucified because he fed the hungry or healed the sick, or raised the dead. He was crucified because he claimed to be God. And there's no getting around it. You know, C.S. Lewis said, it's so amazing. I'm a huge C.S. Lewis fan, if anybody can't tell. But in the book Mere Christianity, he talks about this idea of addressing Jesus as simply a good man. And he says there's really only three options because clearly Jesus claimed to be God. There's really only three options. Either Jesus is a straight up liar. He's a liar. He said he was God and he wasn't. Option one. Option two, he was a lunatic. Crazy. He thought he was God, but he wasn't. Or the third option, and the option that I definitely would agree with, is that Jesus was Lord. Because the reality is that Jesus constantly claimed to be God. So one of three things, he was either a total liar, in which case we should not worship him at all because obviously, you know, he's a sinner. I mean, can you imagine how just terrible a lie that would be to claim. I mean, how many of your kids pray to Jesus at their bed at night and ask Jesus to protect their family? How many of you have seen your parents or your grandparents pass on to the next life, clinging to the hope of Jesus Christ, that Jesus said he was God and that he was? So if Jesus was a liar, he's actually not a good man at all. He should be hated. We should be yelling along with the Jewish Sanhedrin, "Crucify him. This man is worthy of death," because he claimed to be God and he wasn't. So that's option one, not a super fun option. Option two, he was crazy. He was a lunatic. He thought he was God, but he wasn't. So he's not sinister. He's not a horrible person. He was just kind of crazy, right? Well, the problem with that is, how many crazy people do you know that are out doing miracles? Blind people are seeing, dead people are being raised, you know, all of these things that Jesus was recorded to have done. And not only that, I've never seen a crazy person die and come back from the dead 3 days later. So if the resurrection is true, then he can't be a liar and he can't be a lunatic. He must be the Lord. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I look at Jesus and I'm like, man, if you're not the Lord, you're either a liar or a lunatic, and I don't want any part of you. But if Jesus is the Lord, that means some very, very serious things for my life. Very, very serious things for my life. So what is it? If Jesus was alive on the earth and the historical evidence is there, and he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic and he is Lord, then certainly he had to have raised from the dead. That's the big key. If Jesus was who he said he was, he had to have raised from the dead. That's the thing that really nails the coffin, right? And the beautiful thing about the life of Jesus is that it's not just the four Gospels, it's not just the epistles, just not just the New Testament that chronicles the life of Jesus. In fact, we have more historical evidence of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus than we have about different philosophers such as Plato, Aristotle, all of these guys in ancient history that anybody you walked up, you know, on the street and said, hey, do you think Plato was just made up? People would be like, no, I learned that in my history book, right? But Jesus was actually, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was chronicled by historians such as Josephus, Tacitus, Pliny the Younger, the Jewish Talmud, and Lucian. Some of these people were actually enemies of Christ, but still could not, I mean, they had to write about him. It was true. So we have to ask ourselves the question, if Jesus was here, and he wasn't a liar or lunatic, but Lord, and he did raise from the dead, then who is he to us? You know, the whole reality of the resurrection is undeniable when you look at the facts. Has anybody here ever read, it's a book by Lee Strobel called The Case for Christ? And he argues very, very correctly that if the resurrection did happen, then you would have his disciples, the disciples of Jesus would have literally gone to their death to prove that. They would have gone to their death saying, look, I saw Jesus raised from the dead. And history records that 11 out of the 12 disciples were martyred for their faith, claiming that they saw Jesus raised from the dead. And that's the nail in the coffin to me, because a lot of people will die for what they believe to be true, right? I mean, we see it today. We see Islamic martyrs that will blow themselves up in a city square because they believe that there's, you know, a better life waiting on the other side for them. They believe that they're doing what's right in the sight of God. A lot of people will do that. People have died throughout the ages for what they believe. People die for their country. People die for all kinds of great causes. But nobody dies for what they know to be a lie. No one dies for what they know to be a lie. You know, out of those 11 guys that were martyred for their faith, you would think if it was a lie and they didn't see Jesus raised from the dead, one of them would have goofed up. One of them would have slipped up. I mean, I would think all 11 of them would have slipped up. Because if I've got a gun to your head and I'm saying, did you see Jesus raised from the dead. They didn't have guns back then. But if I'm saying, hey, did you see Jesus raised from the dead? And you're saying, yeah. And then I say, okay, good. There's a cross. I'm going to put you on it. Did you see Jesus raised from the dead? If you didn't see Jesus raised from the dead, you're going to start talking about something. You're going to be like, well, I heard that he raised from the dead from my friend. You could talk to him, right? Like, if they didn't see Jesus raised from the dead, somebody's going to squirm. I know I would. I'd be like, well, this whole starting a religion thing sounded really fun when we talked about it, but I'm not sure about hanging on a cross, right? Not only did the disciples hang on crosses, some of them were filleted alive. That doesn't sound super cool. Like, oh, hey, I got a sword and I'd like to cut you up. Did you see Jesus raised from the dead? No, I did not see Jesus raised from the dead, right? Like, that would be the case. But here's the reality. History records, it's true. 11 out of the 12 disciples were martyred. And when I say 12, just in case you're like, Judas was the betrayer. He died. Matthias replaced him. He was martyred. The only one that wasn't martyred was John, who wrote the book of Revelation. But 11 out of the 12 were martyred for their faith. And they went to their death because they saw Jesus raised from the dead. It's the fact. And it's the nail in the coffin. So if Jesus claimed to be God, and then he proved it by dying a death on the cross, and 3 days, on the third day, coming back to life and say, here I am, guys. Remember when I looked at the temple and I said, hey, see that temple? I'm going to destroy it and I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. I meant what I said. I was the temple. When Jesus said, the Son of Man will come on the clouds, I meant it. Like Jesus is saying, look, when I said I am, I meant it. And here I am. I've raised from the dead. I've come back to prove that I am the God who was prophesied about in history hundreds of years before I came. I came to human history to save you and you and you. Here I am. So we're confronted with a reality today. The story of Jesus was not retold. The story of Jesus is in fact original. Our very calendars revolve around the story of Jesus. And he said some very specific things. We don't have the luxury of looking at Jesus as simply a good man. He said, I'm God. And then he proved it by raising from the dead. So as we sit here tonight, I hope that you can be with me in confidence saying, he's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's not just good. He's Lord. He's Lord. And that means some very, very, very real stuff for every person sitting in this room tonight. Every person that says, I believe Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to follow him with everything that I am. It means some very real things. And when people confront that reality, and they will, they've been doing it for 2,000 years and they'll do it for another 2,000, however long this earth exists, people will be confronting that reality. But let's stand firm together and say, Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus into human history, that he lived the life of a man, and yet he was fully God. He lived a perfect life, the life that we could not live. And then he died a horrible death on the cross. And then on the third day, he came back and proved that he was who he said he was. God, I pray that we would not be so trite as to try to confront who Jesus was as simply just a good man, a good teacher, a guru, a religious leader. But God, that we would see Jesus for who he is. And when people come against that reality, that we would not be argumentative and that we would not be anything except for confident in the truth. And that in love, we would communicate the truth of the gospel to people in our everyday lives. God, I pray that you would just continue to show us every single day the Lord that you are. And that we would see Jesus as our only means for salvation. God, we thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, there you go. Joel Kaufman, friends. Hey, sure, you can, absolutely. Just a quick thing as we close shop here with this whole thing, as I was sitting there reflecting and thinking about what Joel was saying. It's an amazing thing to me how many Christians, people that say they follow Jesus, live under a blind faith. They've just swallowed whatever they were told, and every time you ask them any kind of question, they're like, oh, I believe that because it's true. Well, how do you know it's true? Well, I just know it's true. And I just want you guys to know that here at Mosaic Church, you are surrounded by people in the leadership that are teaching, preaching, and thinking that don't buy into blind faith. I don't buy into blind faith. Blind faith is one of the most dangerous things on this planet. It makes people do really, really, really stupid things blindly. Faith that we buy into is what I best call reason gone courageous. It is where reason has taken you far enough that you can take the jump into faith because you know enough. So just know this, as a Christ follower, God has given us all the evidence we need to be able to stand our ground against any thinking person out there and say to them, have you really looked into this? Because I'm telling you, it's extraordinary when you look into this. So if you're here today and you are either a Christ follower going, man, I want to be able to like really hold my own, well, then start studying, start digging, start researching. It's not hard. You live in a global society with the internet. I mean, it's insanity what you can get on there. And you've got some people around you that can help you weed through the mess on the internet to tell you what's good and what's not. GotQuestions.com, great place to start. We trust that site. They've got fantastic stuff on there. And there's other places too. Talk to Joel, talk to me, talk to others about how you can start really placing into your heart and mind the things you need to defend the faith well, because it is not blind faith. And the second thing is just this. If you are here tonight and you do not know Jesus as Savior, you know about Jesus, you've heard about it, you've been here maybe for a while now, but you've never taken the time to just say, you know what? I'm done just traveling this road. I want to follow Jesus. I want to have him be Savior, because folks, he said it clearly. I am God. And then he said words like these, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. He left us not only with the luxury of, or without the luxury of calling him a good teacher, but he also left us without the luxury of calling him God and not following him. If you call him God and you don't follow him, you don't buy into who he is, then you don't get to be with God forever. And it's really simple. So can I just encourage you, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, dig in, man, and when you figure out who he is, give your life to him. Submit yourself to him. He is creator. You are creation. I am creation. We are designed and built to bring him glory and follow him. It's not a bad deal, because we get freedom and life as we do that. So give yourself to Jesus and follow him.